Hallelujah. So we're just glad you're all here today. Praise the Lord. It's great to have you here. And I believe the Word of God is going to help you today. Do you believe that? Did you know that if you'll really receive the Word of God right, in the right way, it'll make you and your ministry limitless? Say that with me. The Word of God makes me and my ministry limitless. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't have to worry about it, because it won't happen to them that don't believe it. But if you believe that, the Word of God is mighty. It's a powerful thing. And we're really going to spend some time today talking about the Word. We have been speaking to you about prayer. And one of the things that we discovered as early on in prayer is that if you want to be a successful prayer, if you want to be an excited prayer, you need to learn to pray the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
If you just pray your thoughts, I've heard people say, well, I'm just honest with God. I just am always really honest with God. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but you don't have to be honest with God. He knows everything about you, right? But some people say, I'm honest with God, and I tell Him when I'm mad, I get mad at God. And sometime that reminds me of what my mom used to say about an old saying, I suppose it came from Arkansas, that when you get mad at God, it's somewhat akin to cutting your nose off to spite your face. Did you ever hear that saying? Cut your nose off to spite your face. It's cutting your life source off. You see? And that's foolishness to do that. We should never do that. We should always make sure that what we do pleases God. And the way to please God, somebody tell me how you please God.
Faith.
Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Bible doesn't say a lot of praying pleases God. It says faith pleases God. So if I'm going to pray, how do I need to pray? In faith, right? So some of these honest prayers where people just go complaining to God, that's called what? Complaining. Or, what did the children of Israel call? What was it called when they did it?
Murmuring.
They murmured in the desert. They murmured in the wilderness. And God said, these 10 times, in Numbers chapter 14, these 10 times you've murmured against me, and you've tempted me. That's what He said. And He said, so none of you are going to enter into my rest. Now, smart people take a lesson from history. Are you smart? Quit murmuring. Don't murmur. When things don't go right, and how many have ever had something that didn't go right in your life? Is anybody here? Am I the only one? No, we have all kinds of things that go backwards on us. The devil's out there fighting us. We've made bad choices. Let's not blame it all on the devil. Some of the things we've been blaming on the devil, he hadn't had a chance to do yet. Right? We've made bad choices. But it doesn't do any good to get downtrodden. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in Him. That's what the psalmist said. We need to keep our trust in Him that's able. Say, He's able? I've got good news for you. He's not only able, He's willing. He's willing to bring His promises to bear in your life. Amen? And so as we've been talking about prayer, we've gone through a lot of things about prayer. We actually studied the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. From Matthew chapter 6, He taught us to pray not the prayer, but the model of the prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And people have been repeating that and saying, well, that's prayer. No, that's not prayer. That's not prayer. That's the model of the prayer He taught us to pray. And He was teaching as a rabbi teaches, with demarcations or main topics. And He expects you to know the word that goes with it. See, that's what rabbis expect. Rabbis expect their people to know the word that goes with it. We've done a terrible disservice in this country. We've quit memorizing the Word of God. We've quit hiding it in our heart. We think if we read it, just as a schedule, you know, just read through and read through. That will be all right. No, no. We need to hide the word in my heart. Say, I can't remember anything, Pastor. I had a guy who used to tell me that he couldn't remember anything. But I'll tell you, he had all kinds of little things he remembered about Pepsi Cola hits the spot. Have you ever heard that? Some of these old jingles that went on years and years ago. He remembered all kinds of things like that. All silly little nonsense rhymes that he knew that he could say. Well, you see, if you can remember those, you can remember God's Word. Say, I can remember the Word of God. The Word of God, say that, the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of my soul and my spirit, of my joints and my marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. That's why we call this place Living Word. This is Living Word. Devarim Chaim. The Living Word. The Word's alive. That's what that means. The Word of God is alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are truth. Well, anything that's spirit's alive. Amen? Now, as we've talked about prayer, one of the things we've tried to get away from is the old religious way of praying that everybody calls boring. Boring. Right? Now, you can sit there and look all religious if you want to, but I know that some of you have been bored in prayer meetings. Yep, somebody's nodding at me. We get bored. Why? It's not because prayer is boring. It's because the way we're doing it, the way we're approaching it is boring. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may not like to hear this, but for all you folks that say, I just pray silently, you're robbing yourself. You need to open your mouth. Let words pour forth from you. Speak out loud. That's the way to pray. Get excited. Move your body when you pray. Lift your hands. Chase the devil off. Amen. That's what that's really for, you know. The only time that clapping the hands is mentioned in Scripture is in music. You know, clap, clap, clap. But it was a well-known thing throughout the Middle East that when you were going after the enemy, you would clap. Something like the karate hollering and stuff, you know. I noticed tennis players do that too. Have you noticed that? Been watching Wimbledon? They growl and groan. But we got into a part of prayer that I think most people don't even think about when they talk about prayer, and that is prayer is listening. I said prayer is listening. Better than listening, prayer is hearing. You need to be hearing from God. The average Christian thinks that if they hear anything from God, they need to write a book about it. Now, I'm telling you the way I've perceived this. The average Christian thinks that they have a real opportunity to hear from God and they hear something, they need to write a book because it's so rare. It shouldn't be rare. I said it shouldn't be rare. We should be hearing from God. Somebody said, well, I've got the Bible and I hear through the Bible. Yes, you do. In fact, without the Bible, you wouldn't be able to hear anything. But I want to tell you that God will take this Word of God and begin to speak to your spirit on a one-on-one personal basis. He will tell you things that you need to know. He'll give you guidance and direction about things that will keep you from the, what I call the pinball Christian. You know what a pinball Christian is? He just bounces from post to post and a lot of time he ends up in a hole. Right? But God didn't intend us to be that way. God intended us to hear His voice. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. God wants me to hear. But it is true, isn't it, that when somebody does hear, it always makes the testimonies, right? That's testimony time when we hear. Now, nothing wrong with that. We should be testifying to what He's done. But it should be happening all the time. I want to encourage you to begin to drive your tent stakes further out. Expand your borders. Get ready to take more land. By the way, the Holy Spirit said something is really going to happen in you guys' ministry. There's ministry that's awaiting you. And it probably has to do with what you're doing, but there's ministry. Have you've heard these words before? Yes. Yes. Well, this is confirmation then. The Holy Spirit says to get ready, because there's going to be things that are going to be way beyond what you could have imagined when you began to chart your course, or he began to chart your course. Because if he had shown you everything at the beginning, you probably would have said, no, I'm too small for this. But it's coming. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, I could say that to a lot of you here. If you'll get ready for it, and if you'll prepare yourself, if you'll stand ready, things are going to happen. Do you believe that? Things are going to happen. How many of you believe our signs up on the beam there? Can you read them? Every saint a minister. You believe that? See, I don't believe in laymen and ministry. I don't believe in that. I know that there are certain people that are called to the fivefold ministry gift. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But their job is to equip all the saints for the work of the ministry. And work is what? It's service. And service is ministry. It's ministry. And so I believe that every one of you who are born again believers are to have ministry. And I see gifts come out in some people that haven't entered into it, but I listen to them and I see how they relate to people. And I know that's a gift of God that is to help them be able to share the Word of God with other people, to bring them out of trouble, to pray for them, to counsel them. The Bible says that we are able to exhort one another. Most people think you have to call the prayer line or call the pastor's office, but that's not a fact. We're able to exhort. Sheep beget sheep. Amen? So let's get to begetting. Okay? Let's start bringing forth. Amen. Praise God. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Father, help us today to hear your voice as this message goes forth. Help us to hear. I pray that every one of us will have hearing ears and that we will follow your counsel to be careful how we hear. We choose today to hear you, to know your voice, to be led by your Spirit. And we thank you that you are going to teach us how. You're going to teach us the way to move into a deeper relationship with you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Now I want to ask you about that. Is there any thing in there, what would you describe in that one would not hear his voice? What would have to happen? It says, read it out loud. My sheep hear my voice. We'll stop right there. Now, to not hear his voice then, what must be the case? You're what?
We're not listening.
But what'd you say? You wouldn't be a sheep. Now, does that put pressure on you? It should. It should put pressure on you, especially if you've been not hearing, because what Keith says is also true. What has to happen is we're not listening. You probably all heard this analogy many times, but in the air around us right now, there are all kinds of signals. Did you know that? There's all kind of electric radio wave signals that are going on in here right now. Did you know that? I mean, it's everywhere. If you had a receiver of a certain type, you could pull in different kinds of signals, and you could hear and make sense out of what's going on, but they're here just the same. Well, just the same, we know that there is a multitude of spiritual activity in this place, right? That's right. Somebody says, yeah, good and bad, but you know, we don't believe the bad right now because we've come here and we've proclaimed the blood of Yeshua, and bad spirits don't like it where the blood of Yeshua is proclaimed. And I know none of you would bring bad spirits into this place. I can tell that all of you want to hear the word and be led by the Spirit. But you see, the reason we're not hearing is because we're not tuned in. When a person becomes born again, God gives them the ability to hear. My sheep, the born again ones, the believing ones, hear my voice. He goes on and he says, and I know them. That goes back to the song that Jonathan sang at offering this morning. I know them. You're noticed. He knows you by name. That's why he wakes you up sometimes in the middle of the night. You wonder, what am I doing awake here in the middle of the night? Well, listen. Listen carefully. It says, I give unto them, verse 28 says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Praise God. We're never going to die. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So once again, God speaks, and he wants you to hear. Say, God speaks. He wants me to hear. So here's what Luke 8:18 says, and I'm going to read this from the Living Translation. It'll go on the board in the King James, but it says, so be sure to pay attention to what you hear. Be sure to pay attention to what you hear. Tune in. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. Now, as we've talked about this, we've said that hearing is a result of choices that we make, isn't it? You need to choose to hear. And one of the reasons that we don't choose is because it hasn't been proclaimed often enough that we're supposed to hear. My sheep hear. Choices. Barbara told me last week when she was here that there were things she needed to hear from God about. How many of you here today say there are things I need to hear from God about? Yeah, decisions that we have to make. Life is full of choices. Life is full of forks in the road. Technically, all of those forks are getting off the straight and narrow, aren't they? That's the way we're supposed to go. But you know, many times we don't hear, and so that, again, gets back to the pinball. Bing, 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 bing. And finally we tilt. Choices. You have to choose to hear God. You have to choose to give time and places to hear Him. You have to choose to activate your spiritual ears. You have to choose to obey. If you want to hear that whole message, why, that's a previous message. These are all online, by the way. www.livingwordcf, like Carl Frank, .org. Click listen. All of these messages are going up so that you can listen to them online. We talked also about hindrances. How many of you know there are hindrances to hearing? What's one of the main hindrances to hearing? The devil. The devil doesn't want you to hear. In fact, Jesus said that as soon as the seed is planted, the devil comes to steal away the seed from stony places. Right? The devil. Also, we found out that unbelief will keep us from hearing. If you don't believe you're going to hear from God, guess what? It's like I said before, these signs will follow them that believe. If you don't believe, don't worry about it. But you need to be concerned about it if you're not hearing from God. An undeveloped spirit. Christians have undeveloped spirits. Did you know that? Believers have undeveloped spirits. Kenneth Copeland had a vision one time of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ had a great big head and a little bitty, scrawny, emaciated body. You want to know why? Because we like to get to places where things are taught, but many times it's all kept in the mental realm. We don't get it down into our heart so that the body can grow. Unforgiveness is a hindrance. People that will not forgive won't hear from God. If you've got hardness of heart toward people, And I don't care how justified you feel. I've got to tell you, according to Matthew 18, you're not justified. And you're in grave danger to hold hardness in your heart toward anybody. Let's just stop for a minute. Right now. Because you know it's easy for me to say that, but I need to let it sink in. And I want to say right now, if there's anyone here, right now is the time to get rid of unforgiveness. You say, I don't know how to do it. Choice. Say it with me. I choose to forgive. That's the first step. Somebody says, yeah, but I can't forget. Forget about forgetting. Choose not to remember. That's what God does. He forgives our sin and then chooses not to remember. How could anything be hidden from God? How could God forget? God can't forget. He is omniscient, but He chooses not to remember. We need to do that. And you can do it today. You can do it in a moment of time while you sit here. Something that you've held against someone for years and years and years. Hardness of heart can be broken like that. And I command it in the name of Yeshua. Be gone. You believe that? It's that easy. If you'll let the blood of Jesus come to bear on it. Praise God. Unforgiveness is terrible. The other thing is we get calloused consciences. God says, don't do that. And we say, oh, just once more. No, don't do that. Well, just another time. No, don't do that. No, I'm not going to do it. Well, go this way. Oh, I don't want to go there now. You know, pretty quick, you get calloused. And so His voice becomes just a multitude of other voices. We're hearing voices all the time, aren't we? And God's voice just gets in among them because we're not paying attention. And one of the things we do is that when we do read something in the Word of God and we can't explain it. I used to ask my granddad, well, how did this change to this? In fact, I'll just tell you what I'd ask him. This is years ago. I was a kid. And I asked my granddad, I said, Granddad, the Bible says that the Sabbath is forever. How come we no longer honor the Sabbath? He didn't have an answer. A godly man, but he didn't have an answer. He could only tell me how traditionally it had happened somehow. And that's exactly the way it happened. Traditionally. And so when I began to really meditate this, I began to see that the Sabbath is something to be kept and honored. And I don't try to get around it anymore. When God says there are certain things that I have made good for food, and other things I put on this earth to eat up the garbage, I don't try to eat the food that He's put here for garbage. I don't try to make food out of garbage. Now, you can forget I don't have kosher kitchen, and I'll eat a cheeseburger anytime. If you know anything about Jewish law, a lot of the Jews will not eat milk and dairy. I believe that is not the Word of God, but a misappropriation of the Word of God. But I'm telling you that I believe that we ought to get that sensitive about things. Otherwise, we can become calloused and we can begin to say, just like people have told me for years, well, tongues, speaking in other tongues has passed away. And I said, and just exactly when did that happen? When does the Bible say that tongues passed away? It says it will pass away when that which is perfect is come. But you know what? People tell me, no, it passed away. When the last apostle died, we didn't need tongues anymore. Well, now, wait a second. There were a lot of people besides apostles speaking in tongues. There were lots of Gentiles speaking in tongues. By the way, am I getting on anybody's toes? Am I stepping on anybody's toes here this morning? I'd lay hands on you and get you healed if I'm hurting you. But we know that there are things in the Word of God that people just do away with because they don't understand it. Or because through the years, some group has set up a doctrinal statement that does away with. Or de-emphasizes. I can't do that. Living Word Christian Fellowship. That's why we call it that. Based on the Word of God. I don't want to be calloused. Do you? That's the way to get rid of calluses. Get rid of your calluses. Don't neglect the Word of God. That's the other thing. We just neglect to hear God. We just neglect Him. I see God's approving right now. He's given flashes of approval. Once in a while in the winter time, those of you that haven't been here in the winter, the snow will cover this roof. But it's metal. And so periodically, after it covers it, the snow will turn loose and it comes off like an avalanche with a great sound. And boy, God gives us some sound effects sometimes that just really make people sit up and take notice. Well, I want to go on today a little bit and give you some of God's solutions for not hearing. My mother-in-law has a hearing aid in each ear. And boy, did it make it nice. You know, one of the nicest things when people start to wear hearing aids is that they start talking quieter. They don't have to talk as loud. Because they're hearing better, they don't talk to try to compensate. I do the same thing. I get on the phone with you, and if I can't hear you well, look out. If you ever want to tell me, hey, quiet down, I'm only in Denver, you know, that's all right, you know. But I do that. If I can't hear well on the phone, I'll talk louder. It doesn't help at all, but I do it, you know. But how many of you know that hearing aids, you know, maybe not God's perfect plan in the physical, but they certainly are a blessing? Well, I'm going to tell you, God has a supernatural hearing aid system. Say supernatural. That's His plan. God has some hearing aids, aids to hearing Him. He has given us ways to tweak our hearing. And we've been talking about it all morning long, so you won't be surprised when I go into the number one way is the Word of God. The Word of God. And I want to talk about the Word today. We're going to spend a little time. The Word of God, also called Scripture. We call it Torah. Actually, God calls it Torah. The Torah. How many of you have heard the term, the Torah? What do you think of? In fact, let me ask those that are guests here. What do you think of when someone says Torah? Could I ask you, is there a word that comes to mind? The Torah. The what? The laws. The laws. You think of law? Does that fit with you? How about the rest of you? Was that the thing that you... If you didn't think it now, because we've been talking about it. What's that? The prophets? Yeah, the prophets. There's the law, the prophets. In fact, the Tanakh, which is what the Jews call the whole Old Testament, is the Torah. That's the part of it. The Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And the Ketuvim, which is the writings, which is Psalms and Proverbs and Job and Ecclesiastes and Esther and all of those. Daniel's even in on the writing. But we think law more often. The law. And what do we think as Gentiles about law? What do you say about law if you're a Gentile? I'm not under the law. Don't put me under the law. Don't bring me into bondage. It's law. Law's bad. Am I right? Isn't that kind of the way it's taught, that law's a bad thing? It's passed away. The law has passed away.
Legalism.
The law. What, would you be surprised to know that Torah doesn't mean law? I think most people were. Torah means instruction. Now, turn it around. Say, I'm not under instruction. You wouldn't do that, would you? If you instruct me, it's legalism. Don't put any limits on me. And yet God does put limits on us, doesn't He? Did you know God limited Himself? He's sovereign, but He limited Himself by His covenant. He'll never go outside of His covenant. He'll never go outside of His word. His word means, it's Torah means instruction. The Jews say it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We say it goes from Genesis to Revelation. And by the way, this is a complete Jewish Bible. I happen to like it because there's no division in it for Old and New Testament. It just runs right on through. I think it should do that. I believe that's the way you and I ought to look at God's Word. This didn't pass away. And you see, that again comes back to tradition. People tell us, well, this part of the word was just for the Jews. This part of the word was just for the apostles. And this part of the word is just for the 144,000. And when people get through parsing the promises, I end up with a couple of bare leather covers, and I don't like a Bible like that, do you? All the promises of God in Him are yes. And all the promises of God are amen to the glory of God by us. That's powerful. Now, I'll hurry along. Can anybody tell that I like to teach? I love to teach. I love to teach the Word of God. I write out scriptures, but you know, I'll tell you very honestly, you know, if sometimes I just like to get together with people and just start talking, because the Word just does its own bringing out things. I write out scriptures because I'm on a topic right now. And that's mostly what I have here, is scriptures. But let's think about this Torah, this instruction of God, the teaching and instruction of God. How could it be an aid to our hearing? How would it help us to hear God, the instruction of God? Well, number one, it is His instructions, right? But I want to be able to hear His voice when He tells me something about it, or when He brings up scriptures that maybe I've not been thinking about. How many of you have that happen to you quite often? You just all of a sudden the scripture comes up. And you might say something like this. Now, I don't know where it's found, but I know it says this. You ever do that? My grandmother used to say, I don't know its address, but I know it's there. We know the Word. We know the verses. We know those things. And that's the Holy Spirit working in us. That's one of the things He does. He brings, according to Jesus, when the Comforter is come, He brings to our remembrance the things that He has said. That's what the Holy Spirit's one of His jobs. He teaches us all things. The 16th chapter of John says, He will show you things to come. Well, how many of you could maybe make a little better decisions if you knew some of the things that are coming? Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is not fortune telling we're talking about. This is the Holy Spirit in you, God speaking to you. Any of you here ever make a bad investment? I've made several. So what do I know? I wasn't listening, right? I wasn't listening. I don't want to make any more bad investments. I want to make good investments. Well, here's what the Bible says about itself and how it would help us to hear. Psalm 107, verse 20. Read that out loud as soon as it comes up. He sent His Word and healed them. Now, what do we know about that? Talk about it. Let's midrash. Let's study. Let's discuss. He sent His Word and healed them. What do you know about that? Yeshua is the Word. He is the true living Word. We named this congregation after Him, the living Word. Living Word. And actually, He's the living Torah, the living instruction of God, the living teaching of God. But it also is not wrong to say it's also here, the Logos, the Devarim. He teaches us by His Word, but He also does what by His Word? He heals us. If you're hard of hearing, have you ever seen anybody do this? Be open! That's healing, isn't it, for the hearing? Did anything happen then? Well, maybe. Because He's got not only outer ears, but He's got inner ears. And if He's ready to receive it, I believe something could have very definitely happened right then. Be opened in Jesus' name. The Word causes us to hear. It heals our hard hearing. Our impaired hearing is healed by the Word of God. Is that any place else in the Scripture? By the way, are we hard of hearing? How many of you would say, I'm a little hard of hearing when it comes to hearing God? Not physically. I am a little hard of hearing physically sometimes. I'm believing that I'm the healed of God, though. But sometimes I struggle to hear people. But I'm believing I'm healed, and that's getting better. But how about the hard of hearing to hear God? Same hands go up when I say some of you have a little problem with that? A little hard of hearing? Well, there's healing for it. See, the Bible says the Word of God is the healing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." Why? Verse 22. Read it out loud. What is health to all your flesh? The Word. That's what he said. It started out, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health. The Amplified says, health and healing. Healing and health to all of their flesh. You want to hear? Get the Word hidden in your heart. Keep reading it. Keep studying it. Keep meditating on it. A second thing that the Word does, the Word of God quickens us. What does it mean when we say something quickens us? It does what? Makes you alive. When we say something quickens, it makes life. It makes life. That's what that means when we say the Word of God is quick. That means alive. Quick and powerful. Alive and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. If you're reading out of some other translation, Hebrews 4:12 always says that to you, doesn't it? But listen to this. Quickens. In Psalm 119, you all know that Psalm 119 is the one that talks about all of what the Word does. The whole Psalm talks about that. It says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." What cleaves to the dust? My soul. What is your soul? We talked about this last week. What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. It's the nephesh in Hebrew. It's the psuche in Greek. The nephesh. My soul cleaves to the dust. What does that mean? It's attached to dirt. It's attached to the world. My soul is attached to the world. And that's the reason our souls, our mind, will, and emotions always put things together in a worldly manner, don't they? If you depend just on your soul, you'll always do things the worldly way. But what does the Scripture say? Quicken thou me, make life in me according to your Word. Life and vitality to the whole man comes from the Word of God. And we got that again out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, tell me what parts of the body are being talked about here. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. What two parts are being spoken of here? Just what it says, soul and spirit. So, what did we say last week about who you are? Say, I am. A spirit. Spirit. I have. A soul. I live in a body. Most people don't know that about. Have you ever noticed when people talk about the three parts of us, we always say body, soul, and spirit? Why is that? Because that's the way most people categorize. Body first, mind second, and spirit last. But God says you are a spirit. You're made in His likeness and image, and God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the Bible says right here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the whole man is quickened and life is made in the whole man by the Word of God. Soul and spirit, what is that? That's the soul, the immaterial part of man, the part you can't see. How about the joints and the marrow? That talks about the parts that can be seen, the physical part of the man. Charles Capps calls this our earth suit. This is what God put on us so we could interact with one another. An earth suit. our body. But there they are, all being quickened and made alive by the Word of God. Number three, the Word of God strengthens us. In Psalm 119, just a couple verses down from where we were, it says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to your word." You need to be stronger? Get in the Word. People tell me I'm weak. I'm just weak. People tell me that. I just can't make it. I'm weak. It's not hopeless. I say, that's not hopeless to be weak. He's strong. His Word will make you strong. Amen? Number four, the Word of God gives understanding and deliverance. Did you know that the things that the enemy can steal from you are the things you don't understand? It's what Jesus said when he talked in the parable of the sower and the seed. He said, those that hear the Word and don't understand it, the devil's able to take it away from them. Steal it away from them. Psalm 119, 169 says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." There's a step further in the 170th verse. It says, "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." So there's understanding and deliverance that comes right there. This could go on for days. This message could. But it's not going to, because I'm already on point five. And we've only got seven. So we're not going to keep you here that long. But I want you to get this down, and I want you to begin to meditate. This is a hearing aid for you. How the Word of God can help you to be more acute in your hearing. I want to hear you, God. How many would say that's my prayer? I want to hear you regularly. I don't want to just hear you once in a while when you have to say, "Terry, don't run over that!" I don't want him to have to talk like that, do you? I don't know if you ever heard the story. Probably some of you have. In Great Britain years ago, there was a lady who ran a shop. And there's a book we have out in the bookstore by Harold Horton on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he tells a story of this lady running this little shop in Great Britain. And she's counting her day's receipts at the end of the day. And the Holy Spirit speaks to her and says, "Put your money away." Now, she heard him because she said, "In a minute, Lord." That's what she said. "In a minute, Lord." She continues to count. Second time, "Put the money away." "I'm almost done, Lord." The third time, "Put the money away!" And she slammed the money into a drawer and closed it. And a man walked in with a gun and said, "Give me your money." Now, you might not do this, but she stood up and said, "I'm a child of God, and that gun won't fire." The story goes on, but he eventually just gave up and left. But the money was no longer out when he came in. You understand what I'm saying? I know a man that was driving up the Big Thompson Canyon on the day that the big flood killed 139 people. He was driving a big excavator. He said, "I was driving..." Now, this man was not a believer at the time. He's driving along, and he hears, "Stop the loader." And he said, "I looked around," and he says, "I thought, well, it must have been thunder or something. I don't know." But he said, "I just kept driving." He said, again, it got more emphatic, "Stop the loader." Now, he didn't say "Lord" because he wasn't sure what he was hearing. He just kept going. The third time, very emphatically, "Stop the loader." He said, at that time, he said, it was so strong. He said, "I put my foot on the clutch, slammed on the brake, dropped the bucket, took it out of gear," and he said, "I climbed down off of it," and said, "just as I did, lightning flashed and the whole road had washed out in front of him." He was only feet away from dropping off into the Big Thompson River where the road was gone. God can talk to anybody. I don't know if you know this, but God can talk through a donkey. Did you know that? But you know what? He doesn't want to have to do that to us, because the Bible says you'll hear a voice behind you. Isaiah says this. says you'll hear a voice behind you saying, when you turn to the left or when you turn to the right, this is the way. Walk in it. Elijah said, I went up on the mountain and there was a great wind, but God wasn't in the wind. And there was fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then a still, small voice. That's the way I want to hear. Everybody say amen. Amen. That's the way we want to hear God. He talks to us as children, as sons. My sheep hear my voice. Number five, the word cleanses us. There's a cleansing going on. See, that's part of our problem. I won't tell you that story, but have you ever seen a mother clean their children's ears? I've seen that happen. My mom used to clean my ears. Any of you ever have your mom clean your ears? Any of you have clean ears? Are you hearing me all right? God wants to clean our ears. Did you know that? God wants to clean your ears. And the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's pretty good, isn't it? You're clean. And Ephesians 5:26, that he says that he might sanctify and cleanse his bride, his body, with the washing of water by the word. How many of you would admit to me that sometimes when you read the word of God, you don't fully understand what you're reading? Does everybody admit to that? Yeah, well, we all have to, don't we? And that's because the word of God isn't totally understood by anybody. I've been reading it now for over 40 years. 42 years. By the way, I'll be pastor in this church 25 years on July 14th. And I'm celebrating. I'm having a huge, huge celebration. You can come if you want to. We'll be here on a Sunday morning just celebrating away like we did today. Amen. But you know, I'd have to say, you know, I've studied some books that I feel like I just about got everything out of them you can get. And I had a guy tell me one time, he said, if I read a science book, he said, I can read it through. And he said, if I read it three times, he said, I really pretty well have gotten what I want out of it. But he said, I've been reading this book all of my life. And I can't remember the number of years, but he was much older than I am now. And he said, I barely scratched the surface. And it's true. But I want to say something. And you think about this, see if it's true. That even when I don't think I'm getting it all, when I read, there's something refreshing about it. Are you listening to me? It refreshes. There's a refreshing that goes on in the Word of God because the Word of God has a cleansing effect upon us. It sanctifies us, sets us apart unto God. That's actually the next point. There's two parts to these, see? He cleanses us. Number seven goes right into that same word. He sanctifies us through His Word. What does sanctify mean? How many know what it means to be sanctified? To make holy. And why do we want to be holy? That sounds like, you know, some kind of religious thing. No, no, not holy. Holy means separated, set apart. God says, be holy, for I am holy. God is kadosh. And I want to be kadosh, holy. Amen? He's a holy God. And so the Word sanctifies them. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through your truth. Your Word is truth. And finally, number seven. Say finally. Say thank God. Thank God for His Word. Amen. Finally. I just want to see if you're awake. Finally, the Word of God saves our souls. You believe that? Now, I know some of you are sitting here thinking, yeah, that's where my salvation came. But I want you to stop for a second and understand something. When you got born again, your spirit was instantaneously a new man. You know that? That's what I call the born-again spirit. And God Himself comes and takes up residence in your spirit. And so what may be known of God is in you. When God talks to you, and this is something you need to get down. God doesn't need to talk to you through these walls or the ceiling. He talks to you through the spirit man. But here's the problem. Our spirits have become underdeveloped and we don't hear Him. Now, what it is about that is that the soul man wants to do his own thing. The mind, the will, and the emotions of us want to take control. Now, what this is talking about is your soul being saved. Your spirit got saved instantaneously, but your soul is being saved. Most people don't think about it this way, but it's a fact. I hear you talk about it every now and then. The old man, the flesh nature. It's that flesh part of us. We call it the carnal part. Does anybody know what carne is in Spanish? Meat. Meat. Now, I don't want to let you know that I ever watched him, but Archie Bunker used to call somebody meathead. And what that really means is, if you're meat-headed, you're carnal-minded, right? You're carnal-minded. You look at everything after the flesh. Now, what God wants to do is renew the flesh so that it becomes new also. And this is what this is talking about in James 1:21. It says, "Wherefore layest part all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." All those King James words are wonderful. A superfluity. Superfluous of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions can be brought in. How many of you ever heard of the renewed mind? The word of God renews our mind. It brings it to a place where everything is made new. That's God's plan for you. And you can see how if you are continually living in the flesh, looking at things after the flesh, making decisions according to the flesh, you're not going to be very careful to hear from God, right? But if we can get that part of us saved, that part of us into the salvation of God, so that it becomes new, all things are made new, old things are passed away, then pretty quick, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be people like... How many know some people that you say, boy, they just seem to hear from God? You know, they hear from God a lot. Well, I want to tell you, they've gone through this process. They've begun to use the Word of God. Anybody that hears from God a lot and really hears from Him, and I'm talking about somebody that's accurate, not somebody that tells you one day, well, the Lord told me to do this, and then the next day, well, I the Lord told me to do that, and it's all 180 degrees different. Those are what we call flakes. You know about flakes? You've all met them, haven't you? The flakes that go around saying, God said, God said, God said, and they're wrong about two-thirds of the time, or maybe more. And that's pretty bad, because I think even those stupid horoscopes are right about 45% of the time or something like that, they say. And you know why? That's just statistics. No, I want to be one that hears from God and hears Him right. Do you? Why does the Word aid us to hear? We know how it does, but why is that? Well, here's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that? Man, I'll tell you what, I believe every bit of this is just exactly what God wanted us to get. Because I believe that He took people and breathed into them. He breathed through them. That's what inspired means. God breathed. God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, that's for making changes, and for correction, that's also making changes of a type, and instruction. What did we say Torah is? teaching and instruction of God. Instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is God's Word forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. In Matthew 5:17, he said this. He said, not one yod, say yod.
Yod.
Well, if you see, that's where jot comes from. I was noticing your name, you use the J sounds. We use J sounds here. In Hebrew, there's no J sound. In Germany, I don't believe there are J sounds, are they? Don't they use, or do they use J in German? Do you know? I don't, I've never heard them. They usually, if you see something written out J, it's yah with a Y. Hebrew does the same thing. A yod is that jot that you read sometimes. Not one jot, it says. That's one yod. And a yod is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It looks like an apostrophe. A yod. And he said, not one tittle. Now, really what he said is not one stroke. And the stroke is the little horn that comes off of some of the Hebrew letters. Now that's an insignificant thing. And he said, that will not pass from my word until all be fulfilled. From my law, he actually said in King James Version, from my Torah. Not one thing is going to pass away till everything's fulfilled. Has everything been fulfilled yet? No. So don't keep trying to get things put behind you. Keep bringing it back up and meditate on it and see what parts God is trying to change you with. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Let's stand up. In light of what you've heard today about God's word, you ought to be excited. You ought to be excited. You ought to say, you know, I've got a hearing aid now that I'm going to make more use of than I've ever made in my life. I'm going to begin to do what the Word says. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You can do it. How do you do it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get into these crazy things where you read for speed. That's where a lot of people do it. You know, they think if they say, I read the Bible through 36 times, that they somehow have a merit badge with God. It doesn't work that way. Hide His Word in your heart. Amen? Let's do it. Father, I pray today for every one of us. Let's lift our hand in the air. Just lift one hand in the air. And I want you to do this because I want you to say, I'm available. We're available right now. We've got our hands up, Father. Our hands are lifted toward You. You can lift both of them if you want to. And Lord, we just want You to know that we want to hear You. We want to hear You without any fanfare, without any, even without goosebumps, Lord. We want to hear You all the time. Just be able to hear Your voice. As You said, if we start to go left and we're supposed to go right, we'll hear that. If we're making little decisions, we'll hear You about that. If we're making choices about our families, if we're making choices about where we'll live, if we're making choices about where we'll go, where we'll eat, whatever we do, Lord, we just want to put ourselves in Your hands. We want to hear You clearly. So we ask You today, Father, to help us to begin to make use of this Word that You've given us, to hide it in our heart. To hear You clearly. We want to know Your voice without wondering, is that God? People tell me all the time, Father, they tell me, I don't know for sure if it was God. I'm not sure if God was talking to me, but I think maybe. No, Lord, we want to know because Your Word says, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of another they will not hear nor hearken to. So today, Father, we're hands in the air. We say we're available. Make changes in our life. And whatever needs to change in us, whatever needs to be fine-tuned, whatever needs to be lopped off, right now, God, we give ourselves into Your hands. We yield ourselves to You. We surrender. As our hands are in the air, we remember that the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, the Lamb of God, has been shed for us. And so, our hands are in the air. And right there where we would have had the blood right on our wrists, Lord, We remind ourselves and everyone around of the covenant that we have with You. We will hear from You. I pray today for a miracle, Father, that everyone here will hear Your voice. And they'll walk in the light as you are in the light. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmoreka. Yair Adonai panavaleka vikaneka. Yiz Adonai panavaleka v'yasem lecha shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone that received said, Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.